This is Radio Superior 1947, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1947. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, station KUWS. It's 6 o'clock Wednesday, April 16th, 1947. This is Jack McKenna saying, we're sneaking up on a beautiful spring when a young gal slushes through a young man's slush.
I guess you're over the spring fever already.
Women. I'm just lucky it was only a 24-hour bug. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the latest on that Negro rookie, Jackie Robinson. And we have a guest who asks company executives for stuff and gets it. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Palace Theater, where MGM presents The Beginning or the End, Atomic Entertainment. The Palace, where the big pictures play. Good evening, Lewis.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. News of a calamity at Texas City, Texas, where an ammunition ship has blown up and destroyed most of that city in one of the worst man-made disasters in U.S. history. And the commandant at the Nazi extermination camp of Auschwitz is put to death. We begin our world report from Texas.
This is Alfred M. Schock reporting from Texas City, Texas, or what remains of it. An estimated 350 people were killed here today in the worst explosion in Texas Gulf Coast history. A chain of explosions rocked a 100-mile area and virtually razed this city of 15,000. The Texas Department of Public Safety announced shortly after noon that reports indicated 350 dead. The injured is reported to be over 1,000. The National Guard was called out. Doctors, nurses, police, and firemen from Galveston, Houston, and other nearby cities were sent here. The chain of explosions began on the French ship Grand Camp, which was loaded with ammonia nitrate. It spread to the Monsanto chemical plant, now reported a complete ruin. The Grand Camp caught fire early today. Several hundred curious people gathered at the docks to watch, so when the explosion followed, many on the docks were killed. Many of the dead were Monsanto workers, and all men aboard the Grand Camp were killed. Steel beams were hurled as far as 15 miles away. Port Arthur in Orange, about 100 miles away, said the blast was audible there and buildings rocked. The scene at Texas City is one of chaos. The first eyewitness account came from Terminal Railway Vice President W.H. Sandberg. He had left the Grand Camp just 5 minutes before the initial explosion. He says the explosions jumped from the ship to the Monsanto chemical plant, which he says simply doesn't exist anymore. It also leaped to the Stone Oil Company. One piece of steel, said to be from the Republic Oil Company, was picked up 2 miles away. Other Texas City industries, petroleum, sulfur, shipping, tin, and others, were burning. Fire equipment from Galveston and Houston, augmented by highway patrolmen, police, and sheriff's deputies, were helping maintain order. Texas City Police Chief W.F. Landish says people are walking the streets in a daze, and that the Texas City Hall, a mile from the explosion, was demolished. He asked for all possible doctors, nurses, and ordinary citizens, just so they have hands to help rescue the injured. In Texas City, this is Alfred M. Schock reporting.
This is Bud Myers of the Houston Press. There isn't an unbroken window in this town on the Galveston Bay, and confusion holds the upper hand everywhere. On our way into town, we passed ambulance after ambulance, leaving the city with the dead and injured. People are running in every direction, many of them bleeding through their clothing, cut by flying glass. The word we got was that an ammonia nitrate ship had blown up. There are broken hunks of the ship to be found 4 and 5 miles from the scene. A towering fire has broken out among the oil tanks and the refinery along the waterfront. The heat of the flames burned my cheeks, even from this distance. It seems an impossible task to get any closer to the scene than I am now, about a mile and a half away. There must be 50 oil storage tanks on fire. They are burning out of control, and fire equipment seems to be helpless. A huge cloud of smoke is spiraling over the scene and reached miles into the sky. It is like night here. There are wrecked cars all over the street, and debris litters the roofs of every building. It looks as if the town had been hit by a 4-ton blockbuster. A bomb couldn't have done worse. In Texas City, this is Bud Myers, Houston Press.
This is Auschwitz in Poland, Stan Turner reporting. Rudolf Hess, convicted of sending 4 million people to death while Nazi commandant of the Auschwitz extermination camp, died on the gallows yesterday before a handful of guards and justice officials. Calm to the end, the man who spurned a chance to seek presidential clemency after his conviction for one of the biggest mass murders in history, removed a wedding ring from his finger as he mounted the gallows and asked that it be sent with a farewell letter to his wife and children living somewhere in Germany. Under a Ministry of Justice ruling, the public was barred from witnessing the hanging of the stocky 47-year-old former colonel. Hess was convicted April 2nd by the 9-judge Polish Supreme Court after a 3-week trial. Hess is not related to the Nazi party official with the same name, but different spelling. His arrest last March climaxed a year-long search by Allied authorities throughout the former Reich. After his capture, he signed a statement admitting that between June 1941 and the end of 1943, he had, upon orders from Gestapo chief Heinrich Himmler, supervised the gassing of 2 million at the extermination camp located in southwestern Poland near Krakow. During his trial, the prosecution contended that Hess had ordered the gassing and cremation of some 3 million Jews and 1 million other men, women, and children from a dozen countries, including Poland, Russia, Hungary, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Czechoslovakia. Premier Josef Sirankiewicz, who once was a prisoner at Auschwitz, told the tribunal that Hess had carried out his work of extermination, quoting, sadistically and at his own free will and pleasure, unquote. British authorities, who picked up Hess's wife in Hamburg in December of 1945, said that her house was full of clothes and jewelry taken from executed Jews. In Auschwitz in Poland, this is Stan Turner, calling the Soviet Union. Come in, Moscow.
This is Soviet Russia calling Henry Cassidy in Moscow. An authoritative source said today that Premier Joseph Stalin and U.S. Secretary of State George C. Marshall accomplished nothing in their face-to-face effort at the Kremlin to break the Big Four deadlock. Referring to the stalemate of the Council of Foreign Ministers on such vital German issues as reparations, economic unity, and a four-power disarmament treaty, an authoritative informant said, quote, the situation has not changed one iota from before the meeting. A Moscow broadcaster said Foreign Secretary Ernest Bevin and the entire British delegation would leave Moscow next Tuesday and that Mr. Marshall would leave the same time. American sources said they were certain Secretary Marshall told Stalin plainly that the fate of the conference and the immediate future of Germany rested in Soviet hands. In Moscow, Henry Cassidy calling America, come in Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Jack Bell reporting. Lashing back at former Vice President Henry Wallace by saying he lied, the Truman administration picked up support today for the president's program aimed at shutting the door on communism in Greece and Turkey. While Mr. Wallace went unnamed in the blistering denunciation, Attorney General Tom Clark fired at, quote, the cheap, blundering assault now being made upon the bipartisan foreign policy of our nation, unquote. The reference was obvious, particularly so when Clark told a Jefferson Day dinner audience in Philadelphia that, quoting, one who tells the people of Europe that the United States is committed to ruthless imperialism and war with the Soviet Union tells a lie, unquote. Meanwhile, Louisiana Democratic Senator Ellender says he has changed his mind partly because of Mr. Wallace and will support the $400 million Greek-Turkish aid bill. In Washington, this is Jack Bell reporting.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. The Palace Theater, where the big pictures play, has the scoop of the century, folks. Superior sees it today. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the screen's mightiest entertainments, revealed for the first time on any screen the personal, human drama behind the greatest drama of all time, the atomic bomb. The behind-the-scenes story of the people who made it, a life story, a love story, a mystery story, woven into the most fascinating and gripping motion picture you ever have seen. A solid year in secret, guarded production, and now spectacular entertainment. No cost was spared to make it memorable. This is indeed atomic entertainment. at the palace in Superior.
The state legislature took action on a constitutional amendment to limit the number of terms a president can serve. John Powell reports from the Capitol.
The Wisconsin Senate joined the Assembly in approving a resolution ratifying an amendment to the Constitution which would limit the president to 2 terms in office. The vote was 27-5, with the lone remaining progressive senator, Risser of Madison, joining 4 Democrats in opposing it today. The resolution must be ratified by 36 states before the U.S. Constitution can be amended. A proposal to allow 18-year-olds to vote was killed today. Republican Assemblyman Orah Rice of Delavan criticized the resolution, saying it would make a man out of a boy of 18. Finally, the Senate also passed and sent to the Assembly a bill that would combat juvenile delinquency. The bill would set up a youth service commission to curb juvenile crime. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
The Great Northern Ordox in the Superior Harbor at Eloise cleared 7 ships today while taking on another 6 as the shipping season continues its fast start. The Frontenac, Mather, and Sullivan were among them. Officials of the Soo Line and the Northwestern Railways are waiting for the first arrival of an ore boat in Ashland, expected tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Coast Guard cutter Woodrush is clearing ice in Shawamigan Bay. 29-year-old Willard Nelson is the newest addition to Superior's finest. The son of the former fire chief, Edward Nelson, has been appointed patrolman by Chief Arthur Buchanan. He'll make $157.50 a month. And Jack, Nemadji Municipal Golf Course will open 9 of its 18 holes in Superior Saturday. Superintendent Carl Anderson says that it'll be more expensive to play golf this summer. Season tickets for men will be $20 for the year, and women's season tickets will increase to $15. Students can play 9 holes for 25 cents.
$20 for a season pass at DiMaggi?
Everything's expensive, I'm afraid.
If we go back to school, we can get in for 2 bits. Thanks, Lou Martin, the newsman with the most mulligans. Let's check our forecast for this Wednesday evening, April 16th, 1947. Fair and warmer tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's low will be around 30 degrees. With tomorrow's high, 52. And it's music time. And to celebrate the first Negro to play Major League Baseball this century, all of our artists will be of the black persuasion.
The black persuasion?
Let's start out with one of my favorites, Dooley Wilson, and As Time Goes By, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when 2 lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman need man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Never out of date. heart's full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
From the hit movie Casablanca, Dooley Wilson is playing it again as time goes by. Folks, the miracle of air travel just keeps getting better. Fly Northwest Orient Airlines out of Duluth to Seattle and arrive there in less than 12 hours. How about that? If that's not fast enough for you, Northwest also flies to New York from Duluth in just 7 hours and 45 minutes. Phone Melrose 6633 for ticket information today. The guy who lives in seclusion in the woods, who asks for and gets things from company chiefs, is up next. The Ink Spots will take us there with Don't Get Around Much Anymore. They should fly Northwest Airlines on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When I'm not playing solitaire, I take a book down from the shelf. And what with programs on the air, I keep pretty much to myself, Mr. Saturday Dance. I had the crowd at the floor, couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore, but I visit the club. Got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore. Oh, darling, I guess my mind's more at ease. But nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on days. Might have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore. Different without you. Don't get around much anymore. Don't get around much anymore. Don't get around much anymore.
One more time. Don't get around much anymore. Another great Negro group, friends. That's the Ink Spots and Don't Get Around Much Anymore on Station KUWS.
It's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chauncey the Bear Hunter of Iron River.
Otherwise known as the Ambassador of Goodwill.
And whose goodwill will that be?
He said one sentence and you've already butted in.
Everyone's goodwill, of course. Yours, Lou's, your listeners.
From what I understand, also for your own benefit. Since 1926, you've asked leaders of industry for things, and they've given it to you. How do you do it?
I'm taking notes.
It's biblical. Ask and you shall receive.
If I go into Roth's department store and ask Mr. Roth for a free shirt or shoes, he'll have me committed.
Maybe it takes a bit of tact and grace and a certain, shall we say, brazenness. As Lou said, it started in 26. I wrote to the top dog, I mean the head cheese in charge, Mr. Phillips at Philco, and asked for his best new radio.
Oh, boy, and he sent you a new radio?
Top of the line, 5-2, big antenna job. But friends, and we're friends, aren't we?
As long as you don't start asking us for stuff.
Here's the lowdown, right from old Chauncey the Bear Hunter's heart. I, too, was once a king of trade. I, too, strode the high-ceilinged long halls of business. I josh you not when I tell you as an industrialist engineer, I erected an office building in Cleveland, apartments in Dallas, and a railroad in South Africa. You know what I did next?
You were audited and went into hiding up here.
You invented Tinker Toys and retired?
You've both come across a nugget of truth, my dear friends. I fled commerce for the great North Woods of Wisconsin, now residing in the woods of Ashland County. But once a year, I mingle with mankind and collect my booty, as requested, from some big-hearted prince of capitalism. You see, I believed these men to be robber barons, barren of heart as well as compassion. But I discovered I was in error.
Boy, why didn't I think of that?
So it has nothing to do with competition between these titans of industry. After one of them gives you something, then the next guy has to do it.
Bingo! These guys are pretty competitive. Giving the old bear hunter here something free gets them good publicity. In 21 years, I've gotten $25,000 worth of goodies. So I'm off to Minneapolis now to have a visit with Phil Pillsbury.
Pillsbury? What's he going to give you? Cookies?
A brand new station wagon. I asked him for one. Old Tibby Boom Pillsbury.
Tiddy Boom?
I give nicknames to all my personal friends.
Pretty nice of old Tiddy Boom to give you a new car.
Not only that, he's paid for the license and registration and given me a year's worth of oil and gas to boot.
Wow.
Say, this is a nice pen. Can I keep it?
I suppose.
And this nice coffee cup?
It's all yours.
That's an awfully nice tie, Lou.
That's enough.
Lou's more of a titty bust than a titty boom.
By the way, please stop by my abode any time. It's called the Wilderness Lodge near Iron River in the Shawamigan National Forest. A pretty place. See, it's also biblical that it's better to give than receive. Old Chauncey's got to catch a train.
Tell Titty Boom if he has any extra station wagons, we'd be obliged. Here's Ella Fitzgerald. Tisket a Tasket on the Martin and McKenna Giveaway Show.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it, a little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, but not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. I lost my yellow basket, and if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be. Oh gee, I wish that little girl I could see. Oh, why was I so careless with that basket of mine? tisket, a tasket. I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket.
Ella Fitzgerald and a tisket a tasket on station KUW. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. Say, there was something profound about that Chauncey fellow.
What did he get from you?
My Superior Blues 1940 Championship Team Autographed Baseball. But I can stop by his lodge anytime.
I bet he's got a lot of nice stuff in it. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the sporting news.
Thanks, Jake. In spite of the return of Maurice Richard and the sensational goaltending by Montreal's Bill Dernan, the Maple Leafs of Toronto beat the Canadiens 2-1 last night. The Leafs lead the Stanley Cup Series 3-1. Leafs center and ice star Syl Apps banged in the overtime goal. Both teams head for Montreal for Game 5. It seems Joe Louis is getting those ring-weary blues again. The Brown Bomber has successfully defended his heavyweight title 23 times since he won it from Jim Braddock. He says he's made up his mind. He'll announce his retirement. The 32-year-old says he'd better do it now before it's too late. If that's not big news, well, fans, this is. Everybody's talking about 28-year-old rookie Jackie Robinson. The Negro rookie first baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers looked calm and cool, especially since he's the first Negro to play Major League Baseball in the modern era. Jackie chatted with all comers as the Dodgers and Boston Braves warmed up for the season opener yesterday. He grinned widely when asked if he had any butterflies, and he said, not a one. The former UCLA star sounded as if he meant it. He's got a tough job ahead of him. He's playing a new position, first base, since Pee Wee Reese is the Dodgers' second sacker. He didn't display any power, hoisting only one ball out of the infield, but it was his great speed and bunting that won the game for the Bums. He bunted Eddie Stanky over from first, but beat the hurried throw by Boston rookie Earl Torgerson. The Negro legged it out to second base to score the go-ahead run moments later, when Pete Razor banged a hit to the outfield. Final score, Bums 4, Braves 3. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
And everyone loves Rapid Ray. Thanks, buddy. We're highlighting Negro artists tonight. Here's Erskine Hawkins and Don't Cry, Baby, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Dry your eyes, let's be sweethearts again.
Erskine Hawkins and Don't Cry, Baby. I like that one. Lou Martin is in with some news bulletin.
From London, former Vice President Henry Wallace says that he'll tackle the troublesome Palestine issue tomorrow in a private conference with British Parliament members. From Houston, Texas City authorities have ordered the city evacuated because spreading gas fumes are believed to be poisonous. Meanwhile, the death toll of that explosion-ravaged city has now put it between 300 and 1,000, Jack.
And our prayers go to those people. Maybe Chauncey the Bear Hunter can help. What's your secret, anyway?
My secret is I have enough gall to do it. But look at this Jack Robinson fellow with the Brooklyn Dodgers. He's got guts. I may have gall, but he's got guts.
I'll say, there's some rumblings by a few big leaguers that they'll refuse to play the Dodgers as long as a Negro is in the lineup.
And consider that many hotels that the Dodgers stay in won't allow Negroes. He'll have to bunk away from his team. For that matter, there's a lot of restaurants that won't serve him either.
I say it's about time Negroes get to play. Some of the big bands have black and whites playing together.
Not many.
Artie Shaw was the first when Billie Holiday was his lead singer.
The fact is, if I was a black man and I wrote these company presidents for stuff, I'd be called a freeloader. If I was Jewish and asked for this stuff, I'd be a money-grubbing parasite. We've got a way to go, folks.
But still, Jackie Robinson is starting with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now that's saying something.
That's saying a lot. I hope he sticks.
And that's our happy ending tonight, folks. Kids, be sure to tune in weekday afternoon starting at 4 o'clock for Terry and the Pirates, Sky King, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, and the Lone Ranger. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and the Bear Hunter doesn't ask the owner for our radio station. For Lou and Ray, then, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a very good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1947, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Pat Kelly, Brian Matusak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1947 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
The April 16, 1947 explosion at Texas City was one of the worst port disasters in the nation's history. The blast killed nearly 600 people and injured thousands of others.
The Grand Camp was loaded with fertilizer and ammonium nitrate, which in peacetime is used for farming, but in wartime is combined with TNT to make bombs.
2007 is the 50th anniversary of the tragedy, with observances featuring survivors being honored. While Texas City is also celebrating its recovery, it still mourns their loss. Again, good night.